Hi, I'm Retro Rob. I don't drink often, but when I do, you realize I just lied about that last statement. From Toad Hall in beautiful downtown Racine, Wisconsin. It's that podcast again. We just won't go away.
Do we have to do this again?
Yeah, again. It's Guys, Games, and Beer.
Cheers.
Cheers. And today, we are talking about the joys of running a board and hobby shop. And we're talking with...
Tom Schultz.
With...
Thunderbolt Hobby and Art.
Yeah, we made it through. Look at it. It's all like me. Look at it. Yeah, we got guests, and I'm hogging the screen. Wait. So let's start out with... What do we want to start out with? You want
to... Let's ask some questions.
All right, let's pass it over.
So basically, we had a really great chance to meet Tom while we were at the Midwest Gaming Classic, and they were running a booth there in the vendor hall. And basically, we got to talking and kind of finding out, like... And the more we think about it, it's like... It takes a lot of work to start and run a hobby and game shop. As cool as it is, and like as I always had that childhood dream of like, man, if I could run like a card game store or a video game store, this would be awesome. And then you more and more you think about it, the more you become adult about it. It's like, hey, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of fun, but we brought in somebody who knows a lot more than us, and we figured we'd ask them and grill them questions about it.
Wait a minute, it's not hard to bring in somebody who knows a lot more than us.
That's fair.
Just gonna put that out there.
So Tom, we're gonna first thing I'd like to ask, where'd you kind of get the idea of starting to like want to run a hobby shop?
Sure. First thing I gotta say is I know less than you guys do about running a hobby and art store. that's part of the story. So
you underestimated like how low our abilities are.
So I would be remiss in not saying that the genesis started when Greenfield News and Hobby on 68th and Layton in Greenfield decided they were gonna close. So the genesis of Thunderbolt is when I found out they were closing, I picked up the phone, I called the owner, and I asked him about possibly buying the business and keeping it going in place with all the same employees.
And did it hit you like a Thunderbolt?
Yeah. Actually, I'll get to what the Thunderbolt idea was. But yeah, and but I found out it was closing the same time all everyone did, and so it was a little bit too late, and it didn't come together. And then while I was trying to find out about running the business and buying the business, I talked to another store, a great iconic Milwaukee store that was closing, and that's Artisan Display on 91st and Burleigh. So the Thunderbolt idea was we're gonna house these two store concepts under one roof. In Milwaukee, so.
Yeah, I remember like a lot as, you know, as a kid, my dad took me, we'd take our bikes out and like go to a hobby shop. We went to Cudahy News and Hobby a lot. We'd bike our way up there, and I remember like.
That was the Amiga place.
Yeah, I remember.
So they had Amiga.
Yeah, so I just like specifically remember, and like it was like a lot of nostalgia for that. Like it really, really hits close to home. And it's like you always like find cool stuff that you never really expected that you want, and you like see some of these really cool model kits or like the slot cars or the, you know, stuff like that. They always have some really cool things that you really like. Oh my god, I have to have this.
Well, even locally, we had Gary's Hobby Shop as well, which is another place like that where they had been collecting stuff for years. So you'd like see stuff that was like produced in like the 60s and the 50s in that store. And you'd be like, holy crap, I haven't seen that in years. It was amazing.
But not only that, they'd have it as new stock. I mean, so you literally could buy stuff.
Yeah.
So you, even into the 80s, because Gary's was open until about the 80s. It was a local hobby shop. Even into the 80s, you could buy things from the 50s.
Right.
And it was still new stock. They just had it on the shelf for that long.
With lots of dust.
Yep. So, okay, so this is a big undertaking. So, do you have a partner in this, or?
Well, my partner is my wife, but she's keeping her full-time job. But my real partners are, I'm going to be hiring folks from Greenfield News and Hobby and from Artisan Display, and we're going to do it together. So, I don't know if grizzled veterans is the right word, but we're hiring grizzled veterans from Greenfield News and Hobby and from Artisan Display. And so where I don't have the expertise, because we're going to have about 40 to 50 business lines, kind of like Greenfield News and Hobby had. had just an enormous amount of products. So I need those people's help in RC, like remote control. And then when we get really deep into art supplies, I'm going to need people who've been doing it for many years.
So now you say you're going to combine the two under one roof. Are you going to have like basically a split concept where one side is the art side and the other side is a hobby shop? Or are you going to kind of commingle it? I mean, in some ways, art is a hobby in some ways.
Good point.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it takes like a lot to kind of intersect, especially like there's a lot of creativity you can put into what you're really enthusiastic about. So
yeah,
they get plays well together.
You take those art supplies and you head them over to the Games Workshop figures.
Right.
But no, actually, but that's the point I'm making.
You're right on the money. So there's a lot of painting and hobbies. So obviously we all know the testers, enamel paints from models, and then there's airbrush, and then another key crossover would be the layouts for trains. So if you think about the scenery for trains, those require a lot of paint, and then those are also can be used in academic setting for. Let's say your teacher says she wants you to do the Battle of Gettysburg or some other project, then you would do that. So no, there won't be a clear split, but the paint part is going to be kind of like the part that touches both, and then the layouts. So, but we're also adding stained glass. So neither store had stained glass, and we're adding stained glass, and so that's it.
So kind of like. What brought you to it? Are you more kind of an art man yourself, or are you kind of like a hobby enthusiast, a little of both? What kind of brought you to the background?
All right, that's a great question. So I get really enthused about all of them, but as far as what I'm bringing to Thunderbolt is actually more on the art side. So I'm a stained glass artist, and I'm an amateur calligrapher. I'm kind of a hack calligrapher. So we have an amazing guild here in Milwaukee called Cream City Calligraphers, and we got some of the top calligraphers in the country, actually. And so those are the two that are my hobbies. But then just being who I am, I love tabletop games, I love models, I love RC, so I can't say I'm an expert, but I love all that stuff.
And that's kind of what I was thinking as I'm listening. I'm like, oh, you know, we mentioned Gary's Hobby Shop, and Gary's Hobby Shop was really good at RC and yes. trains and things like that. But they were not very friendly to their game community. You'd show up and get your D&D module there, but that's about as much as you're going to get from Gary's Hobby Shop.
No, they had a lot of games, but they didn't give any support for those games. Yeah. They just carried them.
Yeah.
So that was the
issue. They had Warhammer.
They had a lot of different gaming things there.
So what kind of approach are you taking towards the gaming market?
Okay, great question. Okay, so for games, one of the things that's really important for Thunderbolt is as technology has made the handheld devices and the tablets amazing. We just want to get people back together doing like what we're doing right now, like hanging out and doing something together. So the tabletops are really important to us. And the other reason why they fit really well is that we want people coming and hanging out at our store. So our classroom and like event space is the most important part of the store and the part we're gonna spend a lot of money on if we have to. And so we're going to be hosting Friday Night Magic for Magic the Gathering. And then for tabletops, we're always going to have a game open. Just like at Midwest Gaming Classic, we have games open. And then just show you how to play it just to test drive it. So, and then we like, right now I can just talk for myself. Like, I'm really attracted to the games that have phenomenal art, like Tokaido okay. and Dixit. And maybe I'll get a chance to talk about Dixit later, but so we're looking. We really like games that were.
Distract yourself now and talk about it.
Yeah. I want to save that for later. But anyway, tabletop games are really going to be a really important part of what we do. And then the other thing, in addition to those, are the games that require a painting of miniatures. That's going to fit really well too.
So how much of the store space are you going to dedicate to tabletop gaming / open gaming? I mean, so, you know, is it going to be a third, you know, a quarter for gaming, open gaming? I mean, like you said, that can be a big draw for a store when you have people sitting down and just playing games, trying games,
right.
Good way to get them to buy the
games. Right. So I don't have an exact answer for you for how much of the store as a percentage, but because the open game and the open tabletop is really important, that we're always going to have some space where you can sit down with your whoever you came to the store with or with strangers. So tabletop games is going to be a big percentage. I just don't know what percentage yet.
Depends on the space. And okay,
I think you're going to need some snacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Quickly, before I forget, though, we're going to have to introduce him to Gloria. He's a stained glass freak, too. Oh, yeah. One of our friends does stained glass. She's
amazing work.
She does some amazing work, actually, yes.
Yeah, we're really excited about stained glass because that's what I do, and I have some very good friends that are into it. And it's kind of had a renaissance, I think, in here, and that I'm seeing a lot more panels that are inside the wood panels that look like they've been pulled right out of houses. So, we're really excited about that part. So,
all right, so I'm going to pass. Rob, you've been sitting kind of quietly. You're not blocking the shot. Yeah. This is the quiet. You are dead quiet. Yeah.
He did drink a lot today.
Okay. Well. So. He started drinking. I get a message from Rob probably about 11. No, it must have been noon or 1.
Nah, I was 2-ish.
Okay, 2-ish.
Because I was actually still working at 1, but okay. Around 2, I told my boss, drinking. Man, I get done early. We're not coming back.
Yeah, so. And the response to that was yes. He goes, I'm already drinking. And he starts sending me pictures of what he's drinking. He's like, wait a minute, I'm still at the office. I'm not drinking yet.
Sucker. Yeah, it was fun. But anyway, as far as gaming goes, are you going to have like an open concept for your gaming boards? In other words, are you going to have the gaming going on the main floor? Or yes. Are you going to have a private room? I love the idea of having it open. Yeah. I think that's great. It's way better when people can sit there, watch, and ask questions.
I play a lot of different board games. I try different things. Like, I hop in with groups with random people, and it's like, I think the biggest thing is to get the most of the games I've gotten interested in, I saw in an open playing field, like at a con or something like that, saw people playing, having a good time. I'm like, hey, I kind of want to check this out. What's going on? You know, it's like some of my biggest addictions, like Betrayal House on the Hill or Crossmaster or anything like that. I've been playing Cash and Guns with stuff that I saw.
Tokyo was one of those games for me where I just played it at a convention. And it was like, man, this is really fun. And I bought it at that convention, you know.
But it was watching people play it that drew you to it. Yeah. And
there's a huge resurgence for like board games and things like that. There's just been like over the past 5 to 7 years, you've seen some really, really new and interesting. Like, it's way bigger than it has been.
Well, this is back to what Tom was saying earlier. It's about bringing people back together again, to sit down and play a game together. Yeah. You know, you don't have, not everybody's just playing online, you know, against each other, you know, blasting the crap out of each other.
Right.
We've even gotten away from what we call couch gaming, but even more so, board games are having that resurgence because it's nice to sit down and just play a game. We're all just talking shit to each other and playing a game.
Right.
I think culturally, they're kind of different too. I mean, there are very friendly video gamers, but board gamers is an accepted part of the culture where everybody's going to sit down, and board gamers are more likely to say, "Hey, come on, hey, come over here. You got to check this out." You know, if you're looking, I don't think there's ever been a time where I haven't been looking at a game and the people there didn't say, hey, come on, try this out, you know, or else at least explain it if they're halfway through.
True,
you know?
Every con we go to, I mean, really friendly. Last time we were at Gamehole Con, that one guy was just had to show us his evolution or dinosaur game. He just had to show it to us. I mean,
The one guy came at, like, after hours. He came by and visited after hours to show us his game. It was the guy with the spaceship game. Oh, God, what's the name of that? It kills me.
Board gamers tend to be much more passionate about their game.
I don't know if that's true, but I do think that board games require a social, the social construct where everybody's basically sitting at the table together, so you have to have a culture where you're a little bit more friendly. Yeah. Not saying that video gamers aren't friendly, they are, but, you know, you don't go to a board game and expect to see a dick gamer there, whereas every game of Modern Warfare has that one dick, you know? See, I have been drinking. That's why I'm swearing. I very seldom swear on the podcast.
So, I mean, you have really, really big in the art background. I mean, kind of, it's just like tabletop gaming. Like, what is your origins for tabletop or board gaming? What kind of really brought you into that?
Oh, okay. So, well, that is just pretty much just growing up in the 70s and 80s. Like, that was...
In Wisconsin. That's
yeah.
That's the place, man.
Yeah, is that... that's what we did growing up. And I have a brother who's real close in age, and then there's six of us total. So we would just play board games growing up. And I actually kind of like that everyone's going to kind of just sit here for whether it be an hour and a half or 2.5 hours. And no one's going anywhere, and we're all going to do it together. And there's something about that like everything else is on pause for a second, and we don't have to worry about people running off.
Or if you're playing Risk, 8 or 9 hours.
Risk. Yeah.
Do you have a cell phone basket to throw those cell phones in?
Yeah. Okay. So if my friends were here now and they heard you bring up cell phones, so I was the last one of my friends to get one, and there's a lot of crazy Luddite stories about how I'm not technology oriented, but I'm not anti the games that have come out, because they're amazing games, and I've always just been a little bit more manual and Luddite with the stuff that I do, and just usually the last one to pick up any technology.
Keep saying a word.
Okay, wait a minute. I was gonna ask. Are you on the Luddite website?
No, I'm not.
What is Luddite?
That just refers to Ned Ludd. It's people who aren't really embracing technology.
During the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah,
there was the Luddites went around destroying machines because machines were replacing people.
Also Amish.
But with a much better sense of it. But yeah, yeah. I would like to tell people. So are you on the Luddite website?
And I don't mean I'm kind of overstating that part of it. I'm just saying I like sitting around doing this, and I'll lose my cell phone for 3-4 weeks at a time, and so the board game's even more fit for me, because that's where I get my brain stimulation.
The problem is we're all in IT, so we can't be disconnected for more than 5 minutes without somebody yelling at us.
Yeah.
I do love board games.
Yeah. You do.
You're
one of the main reasons we've all gotten even heavier into board games.
Yes, I love
board
games.
Yeah, I got a big
games.
Stack of damn board games I bought because of you.
Yeah. So we do game nights now. We're strictly board game nights. You know, we're not pulling out our electronics. We're not going online. We're all just going to sit and play games. We found some great board games that way. So now comes the next point. I like the concept of having an art supply store, because the art community isn't going anywhere, and they really do like a touch and feel.
Right.
And a game store where you can actually show off certain games and certain hobbies. So you're going to do RC.
Yeah.
You're going to do gaming.
Yep.
You're going to do models.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you're going to be adding on the hobby side?
Hobby side. So when you think about the hobby side, you should think RC first. But then it kind of is worth noting right now the explosion in UAVs, which are unmanned aerial vehicles.
I was going to ask you, are you carrying drones?
Yeah, so drones, that are a little controversial. But actually the average American...
No, they're not
a little different. Yeah.
Not helicopters. How are they different?
Though? Okay, the drones will tend to be they're called multi-prop systems, and they're usually self-flying and self-leveling. They takes very little skill to fly a drone. The helicopter models, on the other hand, you got to be pretty damn good to fly a good helicopter.
Yeah.
No. They have a rotor. No, that's a rotor in the back and a prop. There's a difference between that.
Yeah, see. Okay, so
we're getting into the weeds.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we've done 4 trade shows now. The Midwest Gaming Classic is the show where we met you guys. But we did 3 others, and I have a lot of people coming to me asking about drones. And actually, the average American just wants a quadcopter with a camera on it. They don't really want a drone. So in addition to what you just said about drones, the other thing about a drone is there's usually a pre-programmed flight path. And there's a pretty sophisticated program that goes with what you want the drone to do. When technically a lot of people who are excited about drones really like the idea of them getting it up in the air and then having a camera on it and seeing something they couldn't otherwise see. And
like that girl down the road.
Right?
And the problem with that is?
Yeah. Violation of... Yeah.
Okay, well maybe that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so now wait a minute.
Voyeurism is illegal.
I have to ask, have you seen that new one called Lily?
No, it's fun.
It's a drone
It's a drone. It's a self-tracking drone. You wear a tracking collar on your wrist.
Okay.
You throw Lily up in the air, and she starts flying.
Okay.
And you can pre-program her to do, like, pass-bys, fly arounds.
Okay.
If you're skiing or something like that, she will follow you down the hills.
Wow.
It's only about $500. It's effing amazing. So look up Lily.
Lily, all right.
It's really a great piece of kit.
All right. So, very good. Very good.
You know, yeah. I think right now...
Yeah, but you have to have a kit.
We should throw in a cutaway.
Of
Jonah with an angry bird.
Yeah, I mentioned that. His angry bird drone.
Okay, so that's one of the things you would do on the RC end.
Yes.
The classic RCs, like helicopters and airplanes and so on.
So we're doing all those. So cars, boats. So we have
angry birds. You got to do the damn angry birds. Those things are awesome.
All right.
Now I know it's licensed angry birds, but right. It is dated.
You can call them hangry birds.
Awesome.
Put an H on top and you're good.
Yeah, very good.
They swim through the air.
They're really more angry fish.
They're really a dirigible.
So, well, with the what's really interesting about drones though too is so there's a new law where they're gonna be formalizing a lot of the rules around what we can do with drones this fall. And the industry that has the most lobbyists in D.C. right now is actually commercial real estate. Has a lot of lobbyists trying to form that law. So drones have a practical purpose, and I need to show you some property in Stevens Point.
Ooh.
And we send up a drone up there, and then I've got you here in West Allis or Racine, and we can just show you the property instead of us going up there in a pickup. And
dang, that's really a good idea. All of a sudden now, guess what? I can now justify buying Lily for Susie.
Yeah,
He just did it. I can write it off as a business expense now. Thank you so much. I really thought I was going to figure out how to get my Lily. My wife's in real estate. So.
Okay,
wow,
very good.
Thank you. You just made it so I can buy a Lily.
Yeah. Thank you. There's another thing, I don't know if you remember the first time you saw your house or apartment from Google satellite view with a drone. Obviously, you can check out your roof. You can check out things that you can't see without a big ladder if you've got maybe some huge trees or something. But if there's that gutter that's always been draining across into a room that you don't like, you can finally just check it out a little better maybe. So anyway, those are the practical applications. But we're concerned about some of the problems with drones too, with the violation of privacy. And
you know, the one thing I've seen with the drones is really that just has not been a big issue. It really hasn't. I mean, there's been some minor cases of invasion of privacy. Correct. They're going to do it with whether they're using binoculars or telescopes or whatever. Right. The drone gives you a little more, but you'd be amazed. People are creative.
Nothing at all. It's something more American than that.
Right. So I don't see that
except
as being a big
hamburgers.
Issue.
Dropping hamburgers.
Yeah.
So you're really going to specialize in the quadcopters and the aerial drones and that kind of stuff.
Well, right? we're not going to necessarily specialize in drones. We are going to do quadcopters and with quadcopters with cameras on it, because again, I think that's what people are more interested than drones.
I agree.
And then but the reason why I bring them up is that some lines in hobbies aren't growing as much. And the thing is, lines don't go away. So the best example I can give you is slot cars. So when I was a kid, we played with slot cars. And then slot cars actually almost like just went away for like 11, 12 years. And then they came back. So these hobby lines never go away. But what we're going to have to do as a store is if, let's say, trains... or if slot cars or die-cast cars, if they go down a little, we need robots and drones and other things and stained glass to pick up the pace.
Okay, now I have to ask them down here. Here's where it comes into play. So you're right. Hobbies are cyclical. People go through different types of hobbies back and forth. So are you gonna own your stock, or are you going to have the stock on consignment from whoever the distributor is?
Oh, okay. Good question. So many of you knew Greenfield News and Hobby. They had an enormous media section with magazines. I mean, it was biggest in Southeast Wisconsin. So magazines are 96-97% consignment. But the other inventory on the RC side, and I'm just getting all my vendor relationships in order right now, those are more traditional, where you own your inventory, and you there might be limited offers to send back some inventory, maybe on a new promotional item, but in general, that's more like traditional retail.
Okay, so yeah, so you are, so you have to watch your stock carefully. When you see things beginning to wane, you got to say, okay, let's clear this stock and get ready for whatever the next hot item is.
Yeah, and I borrowed a term from my last job, and we're pretty much going to have to do like Darwinian retail, where if we've got 45 lines, then if a line isn't turning and we have to pay our employees and our rent, we'll need to like push levers on other things and reduce square footage. So that's how we're going to try to stay ahead of that.
I like the term Darwinian retail. That's actually really good.
Thanks.
So you are going to do magazines as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Two words. Retro magazine. $5, guys. $5.
So yeah. No, retro computing is hot. Retro gaming is hot. So yeah, and there are some really good ones.
It's big enough that GameStop's going to try to cut into it.
I know. But yeah. That being said, there are some really good retro game magazines, particularly Retro Game Magazine. Retro Magazine. There's a lot of good retro gaming magazines out there, and it's cool that people are doing it because the new games just don't have that same appeal. People of our age like the retro things. It's cool to go that route.
So, I mean, you've been putting a lot of work into this. I mean, obviously, trying to work since, you know, Greenfield was shutting down. But, I mean, what is kind of the plans of the future coming up? What do you have coming up with Thunderbolt?
Okay, great question. So I really had hoped to have our location by the time we did this show. But we're right in the middle of getting our location. And so we have an offer in on a building, and I just don't know if it's going to get accepted. So job number one right now is for me to find a home. And then the job number two, as soon as we have a home, is not running around to the media or whatever. It's getting getting all the people on the team that were wondering.
So you're saying he shouldn't be here right now?
No, I'm saying John. Actually, yes. the real estate thing that's going whether I'm here or not. I'm saying that as soon as we have our address, then I want to finalize or make official who's going to be working at Thunderbolt. And I've been talking with the folks all since their stores have closed. So we had a kind of a informal dialogue, and so that's job number two. And then there's a lot of other things like the website, and then eventually I gotta start reaching out to the media to let them know about our story.
Okay, the website brings up another issue now. So you're gonna have a brick and mortar. Are you gonna have an online presence as well, like an actual an online store? As well.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So Greenfield News and Hobby had a website, but they weren't selling product on it. Artists and Display had a website, but they weren't selling that much on it. They're selling some. So we're gonna sell the products that make sense on the website. But more importantly, it's our vehicle to let people know about our classes. So our classes is in our workshops and the organizations. Hosting their events there, just using it as a free space to host their weekly or monthly events. That's the most important part of Thunderbolt. So the website, it will be really important to let people know what classes are coming, who's teaching them, you know, and so that's...
Yeah, no, I
Avenue, I just thought of this. So you have people that come in that are hobbyists, maybe in the art world, but you know, high quality. Is there going to be an avenue that, you know, obviously sometimes people do art just because they love it, so they produce a lot of art, but what do you do with it now? Is there going to be an avenue to maybe sell some of that art for maybe some of the more high-end hobbyists?
Oh yeah, I should have said that. We're going to be displaying the art of all the local artists and
so you have gallery space.
Yeah, well, we just have the walls.
Okay, well,
the walls. It's gonna go up. Yeah, it's gonna go up on the walls, and then we're hoping that a lot of the artists that actually do like teaching art will come in and maybe teach their medium, whether it be oil, acrylics, watercolors, and anything. And then I'm already lining up some of the folks that are gonna teach.
This is balling in.
Yeah. And I love the idea of having something up there, and then I'm gonna have, if the artist wants to sell it, we're gonna put the name and the price right on there, and they can sell it. And so that's the only chance we have. So Amazon is a buzzsaw for retailers. I know that it's destroying a lot of businesses. And then there's also a lot of other pressures from internet besides Amazon. And then for us, places like Michael's and Joann Fabrics can sell these supplies, art supplies, for cheaper than we can. So there's a lot of things that we need to do to differentiate ourselves, or we won't last more than a year. So
I do.
Anybody in the aisles at either Michael's or Hobby Lobby
From the nerd side, like I do have to say, like a lot of like the reason I keep going to like friendly local game stores and like the places I originally play is like it's the events and the experiences, and I do have to say I really like that a lot, and you get to meet really cool people and try new games, or you know, pick up a new hobby, or like learn a new craft, and like those things are invaluable.
You know what? Some I have bought from local game shops, you know, just to keep them in business, you know, just because, yeah, maybe it's a few bucks more or whatever, but it's worth it to have that space that's happening.
Yeah, it's like every Wednesday, I mean, I go to Pink Bunny Games, I play Dragon Ball Z there, and I was like, I have pretty much every Dragon Ball Z card I ever want. Like, I if I need a specific card, I'm not going to buy a booster pack. I order online, but I was like, hey, these guys are hosting, and like, I could use a few more cards for my collection. Buy a few booster packs while I'm there. So it's like, and you know, they've got their entrance fees and stuff like that. But it's like, it's really cool that to have those spaces where you can interact with other people, kind of learn new things, like pick up a bunch of new games all the time from there, because you know, it's something I see and it's something I demo at their shop. It's really cool that way. So
yeah, and if you look at the comments on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel articles when both the stores closed, you see what you guys are talking about. And for those stores, it wasn't that they were hurting. Both stores are closing up for personal reasons, but it doesn't. But there still is a lot of pressure on the sole proprietor. And so the Gordon family starting Cudahy News and Hobby, and then moving out to Greenfield News and Hobby, that story is unique to Milwaukee, and that's a Milwaukee icon. And no one really knows. I mean, technically, if you think about a multinational like Amazon, I mean, we don't really even really know who the owners are. Like, the owners are spread out over 300,000, 400,000 people, maybe a million people. So, I'm hoping that people believe in the sole proprietorship model.
I see it more and more. You know, again, the campaigns, the shop stars, I'm sorry, Shop Small Fridays, and you know, you're seeing more and more.
There's pushback for, you know, individual, like,
yeah,
and community.
Hence the reason even Etsy exists, because people got tired of the big places, things you could get everywhere with, you know.
Well, and there is an inherent danger eventually that you know
successful.
That eventually if Amazon became the only thing,
right.
There would be no cheap anything.
Well, now there's a pushback. Yeah, now there's a pushback. Okay, so I'm going to have Tom wrap it up by saying, Tom, okay, so the name of the place is going to be again?
Thunderbolt Hobby and Art.
All right, and I know you got a Facebook page.
They have a website already.
Yeah, we have Facebook. We're on Pinterest and Twitter. And but www.thunderhobby.com.
That links to everything on that, right?
Yep, and as soon as we have our location, we'll let you all know.
Great. So for all of us, now here's where we get hyper local. Remember to go to their website, check out their links. We will keep you up to date as we find out more information about them. Make sure to check them out online. And once they get online, make sure you buy stuff from them. All right? Okay. Oh, wait. We have one more question. I jumped the gun.
What game are you currently playing?
Oh, we're going to transition.
Yeah.
For the segue.
Okay. So, I had to think of what game would be the best to talk about, and the answer became clear when I think about the people that are helping me. So no one's helped me with the store more than my older brother Mike, and my brother Mike was in Europe and he established a relationship with our sister store in Hungary. So, and they're the ones that told us, we knew about this game but we didn't know it that well, Dixit. So Dixit's a game that has very very differentiated, unique art on every card, and it's a thought-provoking picture that's mixing symbols that usually aren't together. And you lay them out, and the five of us, or the six of us, all have a different thoughts that race through our mind when we see the picture. And what you do is you write out, this is what I think when I look at this picture. And then those are put in, and then we have to guess what each other, who wrote what. And you can't game it that much, because if you...
Another great card game.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Dixit?
Yeah, sounds like a good one.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great mix for us because one is we do like the games that have great art. Two is there's this creative aspect and sort of psychological and philosophical aspect to what you're seeing. And then you can't game it by making it too obvious or too much of a red herring, because the way the scoring works is if one person in the group picks it up, but not everyone, and at least one, then that's the best point outcome.
But so the people who get it, the less points everybody gets.
Yeah. So if I
gets it, it's not a lot of points.
Yeah.
One nobody gets it, it's not a lot of points.
But yeah. One person gets yeah. It, yeah. And so if I said something like thunder in mine, then you all get it, and then it's like a dud. So Dixit. So we have a Hungarian version from our sister store. Called Silverland in Budapest, Hungary, and so Dixit's the game I'm gonna say as the game that we've got open and we're talking about, and
how long is a play session of Dixit?
Oh, geez. So now that's a good question, because we have been playing around with it so much. We very rarely go from start to finish. We're kind of like playing around with it, but so I would say that you could go from maybe like an hour to like two and a half hours. But because we've been playing it in such an experimental way.
I could see it being very dependent on who you play with. Because you're going to have people who are very elaborate or like take a lot of time to think about it. Or,
yeah, and right now we're actually just kind of like, how does this game work, as opposed to let's sit down and play Dixit. It's more like, my brother and I are testing the game and trying to learn about it.
So it's called Dixit. Spell that out for our audience.
D-I-X-I-T.
So just like it sounds. Okay, and I'm going to have you shout out from your sister store one more time.
Yes.
And we'll put a link up for your sister store.
Oh, good.
Probably being rerun in Hungary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's Silverland. And it's in Budapest, Hungary, and we exchanged games with them, and we have our gift from them is a Hungarian version of Dixit, and we had that at the Midwest Gaming Classic, and that's Dixit and Takedo were the two games that we had open at the Midwest Gaming Classic that people got to play with. I'll go with Dixit.
Very cool. Very
nice.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, Travis, you're up next. Okay. What have you been playing lately?
I am in the black hole that is Crossmaster Arena. That's why I wasn't here Tuesday, because I've been demoing for game stores in the area. I'm also getting kind of ramped up. I was just been working with JJ and Mike and Kevin, and we've been kind of getting ready to run demos.
Threw us overboard for it.
Yeah. Well. Basically, the Japanime rep was like, "Oh crap, I can't take the train to this store. I don't have a way to get here." And I offered to give him a ride, and he's like, "Well, you guys just run it." And I was like, "Okay, well, fine." Yeah, they've been good to me, so I was like, "All right." So basically, we've been going to stores, demoing Crossmaster. We're getting ready for Anime Central down in Illinois this week.
This weekend, right?
This weekend. So I will be there Saturday and Sunday demoing Crossmaster, judging tournaments. It's gonna be way too late, but it's gonna be a fun time. It's a ton of people at ASEN. So I'm gonna be like just around people constantly demoing Crossmaster and having fun with the Japanime games. I keep joking with Rob, and it keeps
Rob from Japanime.
There's you have a second Rob out there, but I keep joking I'm going to take his job one day, so, cool. I've been demoing and doing that. It's been fun.
All right, Larry, how about you? What are you playing?
Well, I've been playing a few things that I'm going to do a review on.
Okay,
so
pick one that you want to talk about.
And touch base.
Touch base on one.
Okay, I'll touch base on the TV with the built-in game system.
Yeah, that's coming up.
And it was really exciting to, basically my brother had this thing buried in his attic forever, so we spent a day kind of digging it out from the back. You know how things move?
Mm-hmm.
As they become less and less important to you, they move to the back.
The back of the attic.
The back of the attic. So this thing was far back. So we had to bring it forward, and so we spent an afternoon pulling it out, and we plugged it in, and it worked, which was great.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it no longer accepts any TV signal because there are no
TV signals that work with that anymore.
Well, actually, I suppose UHF. But no, they're digital too.
Digital too.
They're on the UFH signal, but there's no analog signal. So
not even Pirate TV.
So you know, so it, but it does still play Pong. So
that is something. Other games.
And four other games.
It does. I have a digital to analog converter if you need it.
Right.
I watch TV on.
You know,
Jeff films in black and white.
So.
The digital, it'll receive digital and converts it to analog on channel 3, so you can watch the new channels.
You know,
on your old TV.
I thought about. I thought about what kind of. What kind of daisy chain would I have to create to get this thing to actually receive a signal? So you got a, like a digital analog converter.
Right.
But, you know, it's just only got like pins in. It doesn't have like an RCA in or anything.
Right. You
so you need what you need the ohm connection,
right.
You know? So it's like, okay, so how many things do I have to put in stall?
Not too many, only three. You have to have some kind of a digital antenna.
Right.
Digital analog converter, then you'll run the 75 ohm out, 75 ohm to 300 ohm converters.
Right, right. So only three.
You're doing this all wrong.
Yes.
And only two things, and only two of them you have to plug in of the three.
Actually, that's something. Most of our retro games actually will hook directly to it. You're right.
You should be streaming Netflix.
Yes. I should be streaming Netflix. That would be funny in my old black and white 12-inch screen. I'm streaming Netflix. Nice. I probably could probably hook up.
Really, really, just a really quick thing. Speaking of the Netflix, the engineers at Netflix actually had a working, you go on YouTube and find it. They actually put a Netflix client on a Nintendo, an NES.
Yep.
They had House of Cards intro.
Yep.
That was nice.
On an NES.
That was nice. I saw that.
Which tells me that Netflix has way too much damn time.
Get your engineers to
hire me.
You know what I was thinking, though? Almost directly, if you had the old computer TV switcher, you could plug that in, and you could plug a 7800 almost directly in.
Yes, you could directly
in. The 7800 was born to do
that. All the old game systems, the NES, the 7800, the 5200, the 2600, the Genesis, those all connect directly up.
Yeah, so, you know, so there's something.
Yes.
So there's something. And to your question, there is five games. I believe.
It's one of them I like because they used to like.
Pong 2.
No, it's 10. No. All right. This is a little bit of card before there. So you don't have Pong officially.
Okay.
You have tennis.
Table tennis.
I believe Pong was copyrighted at the time.
That's fair.
So it was tennis. And remember, there may only be four. There's tennis for sure, hockey, handball. And
I'm starting to see the theme.
The side of ball.
Spanish version of handball. I'm not going to pronounce correctly, so
how's
I'm not going to. P-E-L something. I don't know. It's you know, you've seen it, you know, the big thing. What?
I lie.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I keep thinking. It's like,
no, it's highlight.
Because that was like really popular.
Okay,
all right,
that sounds right.
It's called highlight. Yeah, they had it on all the
But it's J-A-I, isn't it?
Yes, J-A-I. Yeah.
Well, this was spelled with a P on the side, but you know what? You know, what?
Pelota for.
Yeah, there you go.
It's actually a mode for when you're on peyote.
Right, so there was that those versions, and then they actually had the ability to shrink the controller, so you could have a small paddle
which was the expert mode.
Right, and then they also had a fast, you know, to shoot the ball fast, you know, hey, that's it, and you know, just all buttons that you would hit, basically hitting dip switches somewhere, right? And those were the dip switches, I suppose, right? Mm-hmm. And then the two or four angle English.
Okay.
So how far it'll spin off of whatever it hits. Wow. So it had a couple different settings on it, so it's pretty interesting.
You did a demo video on this, right?
I did, and that'll be coming out eventually, someday, soon.
Cool.
Who knows?
Yep.
I get a.
Within the week, I previewed it, and it makes the G2B seal of approval.
Nice, which I believe was
like
the same.
Nintendo seal.
No, I was thinking more.
Specifically, the seal of approval ending up on a trash can one time. I would not count that for much.
Hey, but we fired advertising for that.
That's fair.
We did. We took measures to improve the seal, and now I think it's all the way up to Sega. So.
Oh yeah.
All right, Rob. What are you playing?
So I just finished up. Hey man, Sniper Zombies 2.
Sniper Elite, yeah.
Sniper Elite Zombies 2. I just finished it, and I've got a little bit of a story. Now this is it's a zombies game, a little bit like Black Ops Zombies, but obviously it's more sniper based, and it's quite a bit of fun. It actually is quite good. It got really mixed reviews from reviewers, but if you go on Steam, Steam reviewers are giving it really high reviews because gamers like it, and people who review crap for a living, well, for some reason don't. No accounting for taste. Oh, wait, it doesn't have much of a plot, but it's fun. So anyway, it's a fun game, but anyway, it pisses me off. And I just finished it, but I got a story about finishing it. So my wife's got some friends over, and they're pretty religious. I know, right? Yeah, and you're in the Benson house. Yes, I know.
Right there, man.
Right. And you're in the Benson house, and I'm playing. I'm like right at the end. I'm like on the last part. I didn't actually know that I was on the last part, but I'm on the last part. It's being a bastard. And I've got my headset on, right? And I just go, God damn it! Like, just loud, and I go, you know? And I'm like, I don't hear anything, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm okay. You know, nobody heard it. So after Starling's like, just comes in laughing her ass off. And she said, you know, you just yelled, God damn it, right in the middle of everybody. So anyway, I said, you know, I'm getting too angry at this. I'm going to take a break and I'll finish it some other day. So I sit down, the wife's, you know, playing her game and I'm playing my game. And literally 3 more minutes and I'm done. I just like done. It's like, God damn it. What the hell?
Do you play against other players online?
Not on that particular game. You can play it online, I believe. The actual Sniper Elite game is a multiplayer game, but the Zombies game is... No, that's not true. You can play multiplayer with a group, but good luck finding anybody else to play that game with you. There's a lot of games that are like that are just great. But anyway, I played it all alone, and I finished it all alone. I've also been playing with that Redonkulous cartridge I got for the Famicom. I got
the 401.
Yeah, I got the famous Cool Boy 401 cartridge, which is infamous. Just
turns
infamous.
Out I do have that.
You do have the Cool Boy 401.
I did order it literally right after you showed it to me last time.
Oh, you did?
I just haven't had a chance to play with it much.
Dang.
You're
not
right.
The 201 that
no,
I showed
the 401.
You. The 401. That one actually works on a Famicom. Unlike, there's actually a lot of... This is something, by the way, consumers beware. If you have a real Famicom, there are actually a lot of these hack cartridges that won't work on a real Famicom. They're Famicom code, but they won't run. They just fail. They just don't work at all.
You know, what's funny is the Fixing Field I just bought... runs on an original, but it won't run on a fake system.
I hate that.
Well, that's why you have to test it first. That's why you got, before you went out and got a system to actually play the Fix-A-Felix cartridge on, you test it. Worked fine on a genuine Sega Genesis. Put it in that new Sega Genesis, the AT Games one.
Yeah, that
nope.
Remake they made, yeah.
Nope, will not work in that.
No kidding.
Even though it works,
I wonder if it works on my Retron. We'll have to plug it in the Retron 5 and find out.
I bet you it won't either.
Because
it
is very emulation-based.
Yeah, I'm betting anything that emulates won't play.
It is super emulation-based. Five?
Yeah, I mean, well, the Hyperkin guys are kind of clever. They got some weird tricks up their sleeves, so you never know.
But some of those weird tricks cause issues. Again, the way they correct for graphics often causes issue with games. So.
They showed me a weird trick last time. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, well, that kind of trick. Okay, so.
Yeah, we were right across from Hyperkin a couple years ago. They're pretty funny guys.
No, the 400 is...
Stole their room.
Yeah, we did steal their room.
This year we got their room.
Sorry about that, guys.
Again, that 401 cartridge is amazing. That is really the best Famicom cartridge I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is possibly the best. I've also got the 201 version.
That one I don't have yet.
Which is really kind of weird. It came with
Odyssey it. Odyssey 2's already been thrown overboard?
And they came from Turkey.
Oh, no,
all places.
All right.
Okay, so, you ready, Tom?
Yeah, I'm ready. So, needless to say, you all know what I've been playing lately. Killing Floor 2. So,
Yay!
I, you know, it's... It really is good. They did a great job on it. It again, I'd like to see more people playing online. There's not a lot of online play yet. People are just getting, you know, it's still in beta. It's still in beta. It's early access, and it's only people who already had the game and were in the game are getting the newer version.
Tag us or what?
I just. All right, I should tag you while I'm playing it, but you're always playing something freaking else.
On Steam, which has a built-in message.
Yeah, actually, don't you see Skyboy TD is playing Killing Floor?
That's what I do. And I go, tell us to be alone. Steam's
like running in the background for most of us. You have to message us.
All right. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, we do live on Steam.
Yeah, we do, because I see you all the time during the day. What the fuck is Rob playing a game right now for?
I'm doing nothing but bleeding it for cards.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just going to say, because it's like, I'm working. What the hell's he doing?
Yeah, he's bleeding it for cards. Yeah, you get the little cards on Steam.
For the time you play a game. Okay. So
there are some games you just don't
leave the game
play long enough.
Right.
So I just take the cards and I trade them out.
Yeah, because people trade
them. I'm addicted to collecting those stupid little cards. God, I'm an a-hole.
Okay, so I've been playing Killing Floor 2, and the more I play it, the more I like it. I was I told Travis some of my concerns at first.
He's not used to change.
He does not like change.
Killing
Floor 2 came out. He's like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. Killing Floor.
They got away. They got away from everything.
Same thing with like Gen Con. It's like I get it. You're not a huge fan of change. That's okay.
No, again, I don't like change just for change's sake.
That's right.
You can change things if you're making them better.
Tripwire worked on Killing Floor for 10 years. They kept it running with new content for 10 years. They deserve to be able to make a new game.
You're right. You are absolutely right.
They worked on one game and gave it their full attention for a decade.
And Killing Floor 2 is living. It is beautiful.
I know nobody's ever heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Besides Killing Floor, nobody ever heard of it.
Tripwire worked on that since Unreal Tournament 2004, since it was a mod for them.
Right.
They deserve to go on to Killing Floor 2.
And it is good. It really is.
Do you find it significantly harder than the last one?
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
It will kick you in the butt.
Yeah, it is.
It really is no play for me at all.
No,
it was terrible at one.
No, they really they did ramp it up. When you start playing those higher levels, man, nice. Like you said, it will kick you in the butt 6 ways till Sunday. So it plays really well. So that's what I've been playing. And on that happy note, I think, Rob, we have gone around. I'm going to have Tom to give his website one more time.
Sure. Thunderhobby.com.
All right, well, thank you very much for watching Guys Games and Beer. You can visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. If you type .com, don't worry, it'll redirect. Also, you can visit us on Facebook, www.guysgamesandbeer. www.youtube.com. Yeah. www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. Wait, you want to Twitter and tweet and do all that crazy crap? At Guys Games Beer. We can't say and because Twitter's a bunch of jag bags, really. They really are. But wait, there's more. You can watch us on Twitch when we're streaming. Watch That Noob, which he isn't here today because he caught syphilis. Guys Games and Beer.
Sorry, we're not on Tinder.
Yes. Yes.
Screw you, Tinder.
No, wait. Right. No. Right. Guys Games is... And Beer is not on Tinder because we're currently too busy on Grindr.
Yeah, we are on Grindr all the time. So if we're around, you'll see us. Thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. We really do appreciate it.
And apologize.
And apologize.